Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 through 5, and then 12b through 19. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of Hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Anidab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio and the sons of Anidab were driving the new cart. See, I get the hard reading. With the Ark of God, and Ahio went out before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So David went out, went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and fatted animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. When they brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to their own house. I wanted to start today with a movie quiz. This movie came out in 1984, okay? And the description of the movie is a kid named Ren McCormick moves from the big city of Chicago to a small town in the Southwest, not yet, where he encounters a pastor in a town who has outlawed dancing. And he loves to dance. And the whole movie is about this struggle between this pastor who is not so good, outlawing dancing, enjoying a good time, and the young kids saying that dancing is just a celebration of life. What's the name of the movie?
Footloose.
No better movie to get at the heart of the joy of the dance in life. Or if 80s movies, 1984 movies is not your thing, Snoopy, the great philosopher, also says, to live is to dance is to live. These are the words that I live by. And why are you laughing? It's true. I love to dance. Who else likes to dance? We talked about it before, but okay. All right. All right. All right. I, of course, I don't mean going to dance clubs because I know we're all a little too holy ghost filled for that, maybe. Maybe too old for some of us, myself included. But I'm asking just, do you like to dance? Do you dance at home when no one's around, when the song comes on and you just start to feel it? Have you ever been in a great mood and one of your favorite songs comes on in the radio or you're driving and before you know it, your head's moving, you're swaying to the beat, you're worried that people are going to come alongside and say, is that person okay? Well, these scriptures teach us that King David was a man after God's own heart. And despite his many faults, and David had many, he wanted to do most in his life. The thing that was most important to him was to be passionate. He was passionate when he played the harp to soothe King Saul's temperament. He was passionate about preserving the honor of Israel when he slew the Philistine giant Goliath. He was passionate about his devotion to his good friend Jonathan, Saul's son. And even though Saul tried to kill David, he was passionate about Saul as being the king that God had appointed in charge of Israel. David was a passionate person. He was passionate on the battlefield as he defeated the Philistines. He was a passionate poet. He's credited with over 100 of the Psalms that we read. So as we turn to this morning's text, we find that King David is not only passionate in song, but there's some other part that this passion in his life has infiltrated. David is a passionate dancer as well. Verse 14 in 2 Samuel 6 says, he danced before God with all his might. Now, when you say he dances with all his might, this doesn't mean he found a song that he was and he was kind of doing the, you know, kind of a little bit of his best move. He danced with all of his strength. He danced with all of his power, all of his being. He danced like nobody was watching. He danced with reckless abandonment. He danced like a fool, as my mother would say. Not only is David dancing, he was so into praising God with such great passion that he danced out of his clothes. The Bible says, you know, you didn't think the Bible was this risque though, right? But he was wearing fine linen clothes, but by the end, he was dancing so much and getting so much into praising God. He was so passionate about what he's doing that he actually ended up just in his ephod, which some, you know, some say it was like his underwear. I'm not sure if like, definitely it was not the kingly robes that he started out. You know, he definitely lost some layers as he danced. David and most of Israel was excited, and what they were most excited about was that the Lord, the Ark of the Lord, was finally being brought back to where it was supposed to be. The Ark of the Lord was significant because it represented, you know, God's presence to Israel on earth. The Ark of the Lord had been away from the heart of Israel for 20 years. 20 years, they believed that God was in the Ark of the Covenant. And so this other group had control of this thing that they saw. This is where God is. This is God's presence among us. And then, so they were going through this spiritual drought because it had been 20 years since the Ark had returned. And bad things happen. Saul, you know, when the Ark is away, you know, Saul gets into trouble, and when God's not around, not having God's presence had a bad effect on Israel. And so David, a man after God's own heart, knew the value of the Ark. He knew the value of God's presence. He knew what the right response was to its triumphant return. So shortly after David becomes king, he goes to get the Ark, and as he leads the processional of Israelites into Jerusalem, he danced passionately. It was a Holy Spirit-filled party. But it took it to the next level. We don't usually see someone at church so moved for passion from God that they dance out of their clothes. If that's a church that you've been to, don't tell me where it is. Or, you know, and why you know where that church is beside the point. But all this begs the question, you know, where's the energy? The good news is, the great news is, the amazing news is that God is worthy of exuberant praise. God's presence is in this place right now. Surely we sing that song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. You know, that's what we sing that. So surely the presence of the Lord is here. So do we tame it? Are we taming this enthusiasm that we should have? How come our worship is not so passionate? How passionate is our worship? How exuberant is our praise? How deep is our awe of what God is doing in our lives, in the life of the world around us? Do we really know what it feels like to rejoice before God with all of our might because God is present in our lives? There's one of my favorite stories is told by Gertrude Mueller Nelson, and it's To Dance with God. It's a book called, you know, To Dance with God, Family Ritual and Community Celebration. But in chapter one, she says, some years ago, I spent an afternoon cut up in a piece of sewing I was doing, and the wastebasket near my sewing machine was filled with scraps of fabric. And the basket of discards was a fascination to my daughter Annika, who at the time was not yet 4 years old. And so she went in through the scraps, searching for long, bright strips, and collected them, and then she went off. And when I took a moment to check on her, I tracked her down, and she was back in the garden. And I saw her in the grass with a long pole, and she was putting the scraps onto the top of the pole with great, sticky wads of tape. And she said, I'm making a banner for the procession. I need a procession so that God will come down and dance with us. With that, she solemnly lifted her banner to flutter in the wind, and she slowly began to dance. Have we ever felt that way, so full of exultation, who God is, that we want to dance without inhibition, right in front of our families, our friend, our community? Then David shows us this shining example that when we dance, praise God with inspired joy, we need to throw it all to the curb, throw caution to the wind. We don't need to worry what people will think or how they'll judge. We tend to think maybe I'm not good, or maybe people will think, who knows what our fears are. But only God is watching. God is our only audience, our audience of one. But it doesn't matter the fears, because we're doing it, dancing, singing, praising, and we're just doing it for God. We in our life know what this pure joy, excitement looks like in other parts of our life. We know exactly what it looks like and means. We see it. That's part of why we love to go and, you know, going to dance recitals, right? I've been to a dance recital and the kids are dancing and then the music kind of stops and there's always that one kid who just keeps going, you know? And the parents are like, some parents are like, oh no. Another one's like, yeah. We know that that's the excitement that we're talking about. The kid is just, he doesn't care about the people watching. He doesn't care. The kid is enjoying what they're doing. And there's a logic from this passage is that we shouldn't hold back, that we should let loose. Because if David was a person after God's own heart, then God's heart is a passionate one. God is a heart like that little girl who's making the thing for the procession. God's heart is one that dances. And the Hopi Indians have a saying, to watch us dance is to hear our hearts speak. So if our hearts are aware of who God is and is doing and has done and is so worthy of praise, then we should dance with all of our might. When worshiping, let's be more like David and less like his wife who took offense to him praising so freely. And like David, we shouldn't worry what others think. Even David's wife, she was, like we said, she was appalled, you know, and that he was letting loose in front of other people and enjoying things. We do this. We, unlike David, let people affect and effect how we do this worship thing. So let us dance just like nobody's watching. Live with joyful excitement, especially here, right? Especially in this place. If we can't worship comfortably and freely here, what's going on? What are we doing? How do we do this? And the biggest thing is that we have to keep close to the presence of God. If we keep our eyes fixed on God and all that God is and does and means for our life, we look around, we see the blessings that surround us, we can't help but dance. And we do this also by letting people respond to God how they want to, not worrying about how loud one person's singing. You know who you are. Just kidding. I always like to do that because then people are like, is that me? Is it me? I know you're talking about me. And I was like, nah, just kidding. But just focus on God. Focus on God's presence. When you're singing and you really want to belt it, then just belt it. You know, so for us, we need to remember, and I know this, it feels like this Sunday's been sponsored by 80s bands and 80s movies and things, but there's an awful, awful song called Safety Dance by Men with Hats. But the lyric is, we can dance if we want to, we can leave our friends behind. If they don't dance, then they're no friends of mine. So when we let loose in worship and praising God, we can't be worried what others think or say or judge, because that's on them. We can dance if we want to. We can raise our hands and praise if we want to. We can say amen if we want to. We can smile if we want to. We can put our offering in the plate and go boom. Well, maybe not that last one, but I know we're all not all dancers, but this passion, the passion of it is what's important. It can be manifest in a million different ways. And it's not about types of music, and it's not about, you know, traditional worship and contemporary worship and all these other things. That's not the question. Should the worship be contemporary? Should worship be traditional? That's the wrong question. The question is the worship authentic? Or is, in a better way, am I worshiping in the way that David worshiped? Are we Christians in this place and around the world engaging in worship that's a surrender of ourselves? When we come to worship, do we leave it all out there, lay ourselves before God as David did? It's like in sports when an athlete comes off and they win or lose, they say, I left it all out on the field. I left it all in the boxing ring, meaning I did it all. No matter how we're doing this praising thing of God, are we doing it with our energy? But beyond that, let this infiltrate our church meetings, the Apple Festival, all the event. Let us be passionate people about all the different things that we do. When people see us in the community, no matter what we're doing, they're like, well, they're passionate about what they're doing. They're excited about what they're doing. David lived this exuberance, but not just in dance. He set up the tent with the same passion. He danced down the road. I mean, every six steps he stopped and he sacrificed an animal. That must have taken forever, right? It's like every segment, I got to stop. I got to do another fatted calf. You know, it's like six steps. It's a long way. But he did it all with the same passion. So as Christians, our dance ought to be a dance of freedom, grace, inclusion, hope. It ought to be a dance where every note that, you know, even if we're singing and it's off key, every clumsy step is forgiven. You know, there are other dances, of course, that we come in contact to in our life, you know, dances of power and dances of pleasure, of addiction and fear, dances of death. But we dance for the Lord of the dance, and his dance is the dance of life. Someone said that many Christians dance as if they have an instruction manual but no music. They move mechanically from place to place, stiffly without joy, hoping not to make a mistake. They're disciplined, but they're not dancing. David's wife would have liked that kind of dancing because she didn't feel the music. But David felt the music, and we need to feel the music. David had the right level of excitement for the event. He was tuned in to the importance of what was going on, and that's what we need to do too. We need to be tuned into the importance that we get to praise God every single moment of all the life that we have. And David was fully alive because of God in his life, and we're fully alive because God's in our life too. And the dance, the celebration, is the fact that fuels us. We're fully alive in a God who made us. So let's dance if we want to, worship and praise God how we want to, feeling like, because God is good all the time, and all the time, God's good. Amen.